It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show.
And I'm Brian Recker filling in for Mark Reardon. So happy to be with you again here. What a show we have planned for you. Merrick Masters this hour. He's a business professor. See, I'm in Detroit now, and there's all kinds of different professors and people we talk to that are affiliated with reporting on unions and things and everything that's going on with the Teamsters. There was just some breaking news up here. So you heard that the Teamsters said, well, we're not going to make an endorsement. And they did this internal poll that found that most of their members support Donald Trump. So they thought, oh, why wouldn't you want to go with what your members are telling you to do? Why would you ignore them? Well, here in Detroit, the local chapters said, forget that. We're just going to endorse Kamala Harris. Womp, womp. So we're going to talk to Merrick Masters about union endorsements, the state of labor. I always look forward to Sue's news. We'll do that in an hour. And Sue, it's so good to hear your voice. How are you?
I am great, Ryan. How are you doing?
Fantastic. And last night, there was a very special episode of Gutfeld. It's the late night show on Fox. Greg Gutfeld has his panel of four people. He kind of bounces ideas. It's more comedic than serious. And, you know, credit to Greg Gutfeld, because the ratings on his show is better than the ratings on the major networks, the Jimmy Kimmels, all the Jimmys, whatever the Jimmys are. And he does his shows, and he is just killing it in the late night. And he always does funny, like, introductions for the guest. And there's Donald Trump as one of the guests. And he says, the man loves Diet Coke, but hates the woke. It's Donald Trump was the introduction. And they told a story. And apparently this happened during the RNC convention. Behind the scenes, before Donald Trump came up and did a speech, he spoke to Greg Gutfeld. And Gutfeld said Donald Trump let him see his ear that was shot.
Ooh.
So let's say you're in the presence of Donald Trump and he's got the bandage on his ear and he offers to show you his shot ear. Would you want to see that?
Of course not. No. I have no desire to see it, but I understand how people would, right?
Yeah.
Especially since there's the whole thing of, oh, remember the whole conspiracy theory. It didn't really hit his ear. It bounced off something and a piece of it took it out or whatever.
Right. And there was all these conspiracy theories about Donald Trump staging it himself for what, sympathy or whatever the conspiracy theorist said about it. But there he was showing his ear off to Greg Gutfeld. Greg Gutfeld said, he's like, I really wanted to touch it, but I knew Secret Service would tackle me if I did. Why would you want to touch it? That seems like you're going a little bit too far. But as a guest, Donald Trump last night, he was an okay guest, but it was still kind of a cool idea to see him appear. He's done these podcasts and things. And I think that maybe is a good idea to let people know that there are witnesses that saw what his ear looks like before they reconstructed it and did all the things to it. Because you got to put an end to all these wild conspiracy theories. And it goes to show you, it's not just a right-wing thing. It's not just crazy conservative Republicans coming up with crazy stuff about Kamala Harris. It's more than that, because it's left-wing conspiracy theories are even wilder.
Well, the fact you're right. And the fact that one of the few places that you can go is, you know, YouTube to find, and Donald Trump would love that, to find people who are having discussions that are not to the left because it's not mainstream media. You can go on there and listen to people speak their mind, like an RFK Jr. or a Donald Trump if he's in an interview. And it's a form of interview that you won't see anywhere else because it's not controlled by the mainstream media.
Right. Tyler, do we have the ability to play some audio clips? He said he was rebooting the computer, something that was coming up. I want to make sure we can do this first. Is he nodding yes or no? I can't tell.
Yeah, he said yeah.
Yes. Okay, so I want to play this clip for you, Sue, and I want you to guess before we play it. of all the questions that are asked of Donald Trump, do you want to guess what the number one question to him is?
Oh, don't tell me it's about eating the cats.
Well, maybe that's more recent. I'm talking about if you were to look in his presidency and post-presidency, not just from the debate.
Oh, January 6th.
Okay.
All right.
How about let's play clip number 28, Tyler, if we can do that. Get that ready. This
can
is
I please ask a question just because I'm never going to be allowed in a room with a president again?
Sure.
Are there aliens at Area 51?
You know, I'll tell you, it's a funny thing because I think that might be a question that I get more than any question. It is the craziest thing. So we have that so-called area. They consider it like a sacred area. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I don't think I'm a believer. But I've interviewed pilots that look, I like Tom Cruise, but better than Tom Cruise. The blonde crew cuts, the whole, and this, yes, sir. And they were in the Oval Office, three or four pilots. These are not people that make up stories. They said, all I know, sir, is there was a round object that was going four times faster than my F-22, which is a very fast plane. And it wasn't, you know, it shouldn't have been. It was round, sir. They have seen, I mean, four or five guys I've interviewed, solid people, great pilots for the U.S. Air Force, etc. They've seen things that they cannot explain.
Let me just say this real quick. Every year in an election, every politician says, if you vote me in, I will release all the alien documents, and it's never happened ever, ever, ever.
Why?
Ever.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, even Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, George, every single presidential candidate said, put me in office. I don't mind. I'll release the documents. And then they don't release it. To me, that indicates there's something else there that they are not allowed to tell the American public. Hmm. But at the same time, when Donald Trump says, you know, I don't believe it, but people that tell me they've experienced these things are very serious people, and I don't think they're lying to me indicates that maybe there's some things the presidents are just not briefed on, and he truly believes there could be more out there that he just don't know about, or maybe it goes to show you the government. Sometimes the answer is they just don't know either.
Yeah. Well, I like his answer because I would agree with it. I don't. I heard, you know, those pilots were interviewed in real places and we heard it. And I still think it could be something that they just I'm not particularly a believer. OK, I'm flat out not.
I'm not either. You know, it's hard to say that sometimes, but I think that there's going to be a point where there is compelling enough evidence to pull me over to that side. It just hasn't reached me yet. It doesn't compel me to say there are aliens. There's a couple of other things that Donald Trump said last night on Gutfeld, like on his safety. And one of the weird parts about the show is that it's kind of you're joking, right? You're kind of making fun of things. The audience is laughing. You as a panelist are laughing, and Greg Gutfeld makes an assassination joke, and he kind of laughs at it, and Donald Trump does not laugh.
Oh.
You have to realize that maybe there's some things you have to tread super lightly about, and then Greg Gutfeld had to remind Donald Trump that this is the type of show where you joke about things. He doesn't mean that seriously. I kind of get that. I mean, if you were shot at twice and one almost got you, you would probably not like to joke around about that either. Every person's different. I mean, some people, that's how they cope with tragic situations. You've seen service members lose a friend of theirs.
Right.
And they'll be joking at the funeral and they'll say, wait, how could you be laughing at this funeral? That's how they cope with it. Like, that's a coping mechanism for people that are in very serious, serious situations. Can we play clip number 31? It's a good one.
The Secret Service did a great job. They saw the barrel of a gun, big gun.
Yeah.
And it came out through bushes. And how many people would see that? He really was very exceptional to have done it. And we've been going through a lot of it. We're getting very good at it.
Yeah. Being able to spot something from that far away goes to show you maybe they have upped their game a little bit. Because before, I wouldn't say the field in Pennsylvania was the A game. The A team wasn't out there protecting the former president,
no
unfortunately.
Kidding.
Yeah. And it almost got him. But, you know, he basically said that, you know, after it happened twice, he said, you know, he looks up into the sky to try to infer divine intervention stepped in on that first one, because he said if his head wasn't looking directly at this slide that was on the screen, he wouldn't be here today. So he said that a couple of different times. I find that fascinating because I don't think Donald Trump's a Christian. I think that he sides with Christians in a lot of different topics, and I think that he is someone that is for religious freedom. And I don't think he necessarily is a believer himself, but maybe events like that could change some people's minds after you've lived through it. One other thing, I don't know this clip, but Tyler, the way that you tagged it, I want to listen to it because it says pajamas and jeans with Trump. Can you play clip 33?
You wear pajamas.
I don't.
Okay.
Do you own blue jeans?
Do you own blue jeans?
He sleeps in the suit.
I have a very old pair that I saw. I doubt I fit it.
Because we were talking about this. I've never seen you at the beach. We see Biden all the time at the beach. Do you ever bathe?
I'll tell you this. I see Biden, too. You know, all he had, somebody told him he looks great at the beach in a bathing suit. And I think it's terrible when you see a president lying on the beach on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and he's stone cold out.
Yes.
He's out.
Yes.
Who can sleep in front of cameras that are rolling?
In the heat.
Totally.
In the heat. You only sleep like 3 hours, right?
Well, I don't sleep much. I'd like to sleep more, but probably 4 hours, 5 hours.
Do you get a good sleep?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and nobody sleeps well. And everybody's always trying to find the answer.
Well, that's the purpose of this next election, so we can sleep well again.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, he doesn't own pajamas. He sleeps in a suit, as I think Tyrus mentioned. I got to ask Tyrus about that next time I'm filling in for Annie Fry or whatever, and they have him on the show sitting next to Donald Trump. What's that like? Isn't that strange? Like, the older I get, Sue, the more comfortable I want to be all the time. So
no,
I've gone from
that.
A point like where I used to wear, you know, here, I'll back it up for a moment. Let me say there's different points in your life where you're trying to impress the girls. So you dress in ways that aren't comfortable, but you think make you feel good. Now, unfortunately for women, I feel like they have the pressure to do that all the time. Not just before, you know, they're dating or married or whatever it is. They feel like there's always that pressure. Guys, it's fantastic because at a certain point you realize, oh, I already got her on the hook. Now I don't have to dress fancy anymore. So then all of a sudden you're going from nice designer jeans or pants to wearing jean sweatpants. That's the progression I went into now. I'm all about being comfort.
Sweatpants? Riot.
Yeah, Sue. I have sweatpants that look like jeans. No one can tell the difference. They feel soft like sweatpants.
What are you talking about?
Awesome.
Jeans do not look like sweatpants. That is not possible.
Sue, I used to wear them into the station and no one knew.
Right.
They were awesome. They're the best. And you know what? They don't even have little holes for your belt. It's just a drawstring that you have to tighten.
This is the saddest thing I have ever heard.
See, guys are just different. You know, Donald Trump, man, he's wearing a suit all the time. If I was at that level, I would be all about comfort. Like, at this point, what do I got to prove to anyone else? Like, everyone's going to make fun of me and the way I look all the time, 24/7. If I'm Donald Trump, I'm realizing that's it. I'm going to the sweatpants suit bottom. Like, what do you got to prove to anyone else at this point? So I'm all about comfort anywhere I go. Now, at work, I still wear the dress slacks, but if I have the day where I can just wear jeans, it's always the sweatpants jeans. And pajamas at night, being comfortable is the way to go.
Will you send me a picture of these sweatpant jeans?
Really? Okay, yeah, you want me to send it from behind?
Like
the Jitterbug music video?
No,
from
just them laid out on the bed. I'm trying to comprehend it.
Okay, you don't want me wearing them. You
right.
Don't want me modeling them.
No.
A Jitterbug. So you don't want that. Or what's the one album by Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA, where I'll put a little like USA
no.
flag handkerchief in my
okay,
back
pocket.
Okay,
that's a buzzer. No.
So you don't want me modeling.
No, I just want to see the sweatpants jeans.
Well, I will say Gutfeld is very good at posting videos online. At least Fox is good at curating some videos. If you want to see the opening monologue, they kind of skip it. A lot of people just watch the monologue and kind of, you know, go into the first question. But in this case, they said, let's go right to it. No monologue. Introduce the guest. There's Donald Trump. Get a couple of questions. It's on their Fox YouTube page. I would say it's worth your time to watch it. It's kind of interesting to see. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk to a business professor about the state of labor and what's going on with this Teamster thing. So a lot of Teamster union members, they said they support Donald Trump, a wide majority of them. So why isn't the Teamsters coming out and using that as an opportunity to endorse the candidate? Well, we're going to talk to Merrick Masters. He's a business professor and director of labor studies at Wayne State University. Coming up after the break, I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Looking forward to spending the next couple of hours with you. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon. You can find me online at Ryan Recker, on Facebook at Ryan Recker, on Twitter, places like that. Ryan Recker Radio, another spot too. Joining us now is a business professor, director of labor studies at Wayne State University. That's in Detroit. Merrick Masters, thanks for joining us in St. Louis. Oh, Merrick, are you there? Ooh, you know, being remote, I got to admit, Tyler, I can't hear the phone line. So I don't know if you have to punch something up on the board so I can hear him, or if he's not there, let me know. Oh, there we go. Merrick, hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you now. Yeah. So it's, when I do the remote shows, it's so funny because we're both in the same city right now, logging into and talking to St. Louis. But it's great because you have a St. Louis connection. You actually grew up in St. Louis, didn't you?
I lived there for a year in around 1961. I went to first grade there. My dad taught at Washington U that year. And then when I was older, when I was almost 15, I moved to Edwardsville, Illinois. And that's right across the river from you folks. And my wife was born in St. Louis and moved over to Columbia, Illinois, and I met her at SIU Edwardsville. And though St. Louis is kind of our own stopping grounds.
The rest is history, they say. Okay, one of the big things that came out, a lot of people have been talking about the Teamsters, and part of it is they did this internal poll. They found that Donald Trump was actually preferred among their members, which is kind of surprising to some. We saw the Teamsters speak at the Republican convention, also the Democratic convention. And part of it is, okay, well, you have Donald Trump, who hasn't been necessarily complimentary to unions, but union members and the Teamsters still support him. So can you talk a little bit about the Teamsters in general and what you think might be going on there?
Well, I think the International Executive Board of the Teamsters, which makes the decision at the presidential level about endorsements for the international union itself, is conflicted. On the one hand, it wants to pay careful attention to its membership, and the polling results that they have indicate that a substantial percentage of their rank and file, over a majority, support Donald Trump. But Trump's positions on the issues are not as favorable as the Harris-Biden administrations have been, particularly on matters pertaining to labor law reform. And while the Biden administration did invoke the procedures to have Congress overturn and impose a contract in the case of the railroad workers that the Teamsters represented, that was something that was not in favor of the Biden administration. But I think they had to make a difficult choice. But I would note at local level, at least in Michigan, the Michigan Joint Council 43, which is pretty statewide of its representation of the Teamsters, did endorse Kamala Harris today. And there's also a joint council in the California and Nevada area, which has endorsed Harris. So locals of the union or regional affiliates of the union will be free to make their own endorsements.
And maybe part of this is that a lot of times you find union members don't necessarily like the idea that their union is spending a lot of their dues donating to certain candidates. So do you think the Teamsters may take a poll like this, at least on the national level, and realize, well, maybe our people don't like us giving a lot of money to one party or the other? Does this maybe mean the Teamsters could be out of politics? Say, hey, we're just going to let this one go, and we're just going to be done sending dues money to any candidate because it just upsets our members.
Well, I think that there are a certain percentage of members across all unions that really do not appreciate the use of their dues for political purposes. Although in some cases, members do have the ability to check off and have their due part of their dues devoted to political purposes. But a larger number of union members are going to oppose the specific endorsements of the union as opposed to the union per se being involved in politics. And I think that's what you're seeing here, that this is a preference poll, and there are a lot of union members in unions such as the Teamsters and the auto workers and the steel workers on down the line that are more conservative than their leadership and support Donald Trump because of the policies and his strength as a leader, I think, which has a lot of appeal to them. A lot of union members who feel that you need a strong leader who's going to take strong stands on tariff issues and on crime and on the border.
Yeah, and something that happened, and this being a labor issue, and joining us here, Merrick Masters, professor, director of labor studies at Wayne State University. That's in Detroit, big union town. St. Louis is a big union town, a lot of union representation in both of these cities. But kind of interesting side note, yesterday, the Federal Reserve came out. They dropped the interest rate by half a point. Some people thought it would be a quarter. A lot of people anticipated it could be upwards of a half. So that's kind of a big deal, and people are still talking about it. But one of the things that people are mentioning is that the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, mentioned that one of the reasons we're seeing an increase in the number of people looking for jobs is because of all the new immigrants that are coming into the country. Now, we do have a pretty big influx of people that would be looking for ways to sustain themselves living in this country, so they look for work. So what kind of impact do you think we're seeing right now and will see when it comes to new immigrants coming into this country when it comes to the labor forces?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of displacement and a lot, particularly at the lower end of the economic scale. And this is going to hard hit people in working class areas and in inner city areas more than in other areas. And I've seen some evidence which indicates that the employment growth that's occurred in recent years has been primarily among foreign-born residents, not among native-born American residents. And so as a result of that, I think eventually you're going to see some outcry and people are going to be concerned about the impact this is having on jobs. And also they're going to be concerned about the obvious impact that it's having on the budgets of municipalities, state governments, and the federal government as they have to finance the transportation, the housing, and the other services provided to the people who cross the border without proper documentation.
Yeah, we've heard some people make those arguments, some very concerning things. If you keep in, you know, the hard part that we run into is just trying to pinpoint the exact number of people undocumented that came into the country. And there's even estimates saying from the start of the Biden administration, we're upwards of 10 million people up until, you know, projected towards the end of his 4 years. And when you talk about maybe an influx of that many people, yeah, that's going to have an issue with housing because they're going to need a place to live. So that's going to put a hurt when there's already a limited amount of housing in any given city where they may be moving to. and of course jobs and other resources that have limited quantities resources available too. And that's going to be big burdens for these local governments. So we're starting to see these things. And part of it is, I don't even know if we got a full grasp of what we're dealing with here. Do you think the Federal Reserve even can fully grasp the pure bulk of numbers? You think they're getting more and better numbers reported to them than the media is getting reported? Because they make it sound like they got this all figured out. That's part of the job of the Federal Reserve. They need to balance these things so, you know, the cost of goods and services don't go way crazy. And so do you think the Federal Reserve's got this under control, or do you think perhaps that
I don't think anybody's got it under control. We've seen reports of up to 10 million, but I think that's probably an understatement. And you have to remember there are a lot of people here already that have been here crossing the border without proper documentation. And so as a result, we have a country that has been harboring a number of people who, technically speaking, are probably not eligible to work for companies in the U.S., but are still getting jobs because there are all kinds of ways around it. And you have a labor shortage in some respects for certain types of occupations that they fill the bill for. So in the societal impact is going to be enormous in terms of the cost of education, the cost of social services, the cost of additional police security that you're going to need. All these kinds of things have really been factored into the equation. And in a nation that has such high indebtedness, with the public debt now well into the $30 trillion, it's hard to fathom that you're going to be able to continue to find the resources to fund this kind of influx of population.
Yeah, we're having a hard time even making the payments on the interest alone. It's a big, big difference.
Well, the interest alone is over $1 trillion now. And I'm old enough to remember that. I remember when Lyndon Johnson talking about his budget, you know, in the mid-1960s, you know, he had to keep it under $100 billion. And now we have budgets that run in the trillions of dollars. And most of it is transfer payments of one sort or another. A large chunk goes to defense. And it's hard to say, you know, what we actually get for all those defense appropriations, because there's so much graft in the procurement part of defense that I'm not certain it's a very cost-effective operation.
No, we got some problems with this debt. And does it scare you when you hear these proposals by, you know, Kamala Harris and Walz basically saying, hey, if you put me in, we're going to give first time home buyers $25,000, and we're going to throw $20,000 here, and we're going to up the child credit. And they're talking about all of these things that are going to stimulate the economy more, and by giving more and more money out to the people. But we know what happened last time all this money was given out. Does that scare you when you hear those proposals?
Well, particularly the fraud and abuse that you had in all the pandemic money that was given out. I mean, that is a massive ripoff that occurred for the taxpayer, and there's been no accountability for it. You hear of all kinds of shenanigans going on in the military procurement in Ukraine and elsewhere in the world. I think this is another example of that. And when people talk about, politicians talk about it, and I'm a Democrat, but you know, there's no such thing as anything free. Somebody pays for it. And you talk about free college for people, well, somebody's going to pay for it. You talk about free health services for somebody, somebody's going to end up paying for it, because somebody's got to provide the services and pay for the people that are going to provide those services on the ground to people in hospitals and other medical centers. And, you know, the notion that nobody is going to end up having to foot the bill is just ridiculous.
I think a lot of people, and going back to the Teamsters and these unions, but in general, when you poll the workers, they realize that their ability to take the salary they have from their job and make a living out of it is getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and it has been over the last couple of years. And I think they realize that the offset of someone that may not be complementary to unions is going to be worth it if the economy starts improving the way it used to be before Joe Biden got into office. You think economically speaking, that's what's motivating some of these Teamster people? That's why they're voting in a way that would, you know, traditional thought would be they're voting against their best interest.
I think that from their perspective now, they look at the fact that real wages rose higher in the Trump administration. Real wages have decreased in the Biden administration. They look at all the giveaways, the programs, the relief of student debt, people not having to pay that. And every time the Democrats seem to get up on the stage, they promise something to somebody free. And that's just not, you know, what working people face. They're being taxed. They have to pay. And I think what we're seeing now is a fundamental realignment of the political parties, where today the Republican Party under Trump has become the party of the working class, and the Democratic Party has become the party of the elite, the donor elites and the educated elites. And it reflects the interests of people in that category. And therefore, I think that it's not unsurprising that you see a lot of people who are working class looking more and more heavily towards the Republicans as a viable alternative.
Yep. Merrick Masters, business professor, director of labor studies at Wayne State University. So funny that we're both probably not that far away from each other right now as we broadcast to St. Louis, Missouri. Always great that we have a local tie-in, given that you've lived in the area when you were younger. Merrick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and have a good afternoon.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. I heard that Mark was previewing tomorrow morning. They're going to talk about those pagers exploding. What a story. Stephen Bucci is joining us, a heritage scholar specializing in cybersecurity and military, at about 5:25 tonight. That's going to be pretty awesome. So we're going to get that topic too. It's such a great story.
It is.
To think that's even possible. It's out of a movie. I mean, that's a Mission Impossible move,
it
really.
It is.
All right, so Sue, I think they found the clip of Greg Gutfeld talking about seeing Donald Trump's ear. Tyler, can we play that?
I look over to the right, and ping, and that was not, I knew something was definitely wrong, and it was a mess. I touched, I said, that's unusual.
Do you remember when you showed it to me?
I showed it.
Yeah, you showed it to me, said, I know people aren't going to believe this, so Gutfeld, take a look at my ear.
That's right, you know, we met at the convention.
Yeah.
And I said, who am I going to show it to? You know, we have a lot of guys. You know, they'll say it didn't exist. And I actually did have such confidence in him. And he's really a very special guy, talented guy, good guy, great guy. And I said, you know, if I'm going to show it, let's do it with Gutfeld.
Yes.
And that's amazing. It's amazing.
Because it happened right after.
Yeah, how did you get him to see the top of your ear?
Well, I sat in a low chair.
Okay, thank you.
But you know what? It was true. And I took the bandages off very carefully. Yeah. And I showed him. He said, that's nasty.
Yes.
That was nasty. But
I kind of wanted to touch it, but I knew I would have been tackled.
All right. So that what a great story. You know, honestly, Donald Trump needs more stories like that. He doesn't need the eating the cats and dogs stories more. That he's got enough of those things that aren't complimentary to him that are getting just run wild right now. He needs more stories like that getting out. That's very, you know, like anyone else. Every guy I know would want to see that. If that happened to their friend, oh, I got to see this. Right? Guys want to see those sort of things. Maybe just the ladies don't want to see it.
No, not really.
Well, you see, I thought back in the day, if you had a scar, like the chicks dig scars, right? So you kind of use that as a way, like as an in to get some sympathy to show that you're tough. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think so. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So let me run this story by you. Over in Washington, D.C., a new bill is aiming to combat the high crime rates, because there's a lot of crime in these major cities. Coastal cities, the New Yorks, the Los Angeles, the San Franciscos, we see increase in, I mean, crimes where they just walk into stores and walk out of stuff.
Oh, it drives me nuts, Ryan. Hate it.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And you also see crimes that get completely ignored. And a lot of it sometimes has to do with drugs. I mean, we've become so relaxed in allowing for drug and drug use that we don't even go after things that are destroying people's lives anymore until they're dead. And then they might go after a dealer. But still, Washington, D.C. said, you know what? We got some high crime rates. I know how to fix it. They have introduced a bill to provide exemptions on a law that prohibited retail establishments from rejecting cash payments. So in the past, this even came up in St. Louis. You remember they said it is racist to say you can't pay with cash for something because some people don't have credit cards or debit
cards.
Right. So they said you have to accept money, cash for everything. And representatives on city council, they are all there and they're saying, hey, Alderman, let's make sure that these poor people have the opportunity to pay for services if they don't have a card. Well, they won ultimately. So you can pay things with cash. Well, people are getting mugged so often. They said maybe the thing that we need to do is just go cashless so they get they're not targeted as often for muggings. You think that's a good idea?
That's an interesting theory. I mean, I can see how you would think that, right? But I guess I have two thoughts. One is, couldn't they just steal then your credit cards and rack up a bunch of stuff? It's a race to get home to see who could cancel it. And then the other one would be, I really like cash just because that's something that's, even though it's real, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, think about it. Everything you have in the bank is just typed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? On a screen. And if somebody goes in there and gets rid of it, let's think about the net with, go back to that movie with Sandra Bullock all those years ago. Somebody
Bullock
can
reference.
Go. That's right. It goes in and just, to me, that's vulnerable as well. And if you have cash, then at least that offsets that. You see what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. So who's going to, like, how is grandma and grandpa going to give the grandkids a $5 bill on their birthday? Like, if
exactly.
you don't have cash, cash will still exist, sure, but they just won't be able to spend it anywhere, I guess, unless you take it to the bank and make it digital.
Yeah, that's dangerous. I don't like that either. So I do understand
armed
the
guards.
Here's an idea. Why don't we enforce the laws that we have and
I
put
know, and
people in jail? Yes.
I know. All right. I am so looking forward to Sue's news coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. You can find us online, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.